Our scripture today is from Exodus, the 20th chapter, and it is verses 8 through 11. Let us listen to the word of God as it comes to us from the book of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, your male or female servant, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it, made it special. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The opening scene of the movie Fiddler on the Roof is really fascinating. It's a story of a family that's beginning the Sabbath. Now, in the Jewish faith, the Sabbath begins on sundown, on Friday evening. And it begins at the table with the lighting of candles. 2 candles to remind us of the 2 commandments. For in Exodus it says, remember the Sabbath. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, when we have the 10 commandments, it says, observe the Sabbath. So the 2 candles represent observe the Sabbath and remember the Sabbath. And what happens basically is here at the table, usually it's the woman of the house will light the candles. She keeps her eyes hid. And then after the lighting of the candles, there is a blessing over the lighting of the candles. Now, I'm not going to say it in Hebrew, but if people know Hebrew, you're more than welcome to raise your hand. We'll let you go for it. But in English, here are the words. Blessed are you, our Lord and God, King of the universe, who made us holy through your commandments and commanded us to kindle the Sabbath lights. And that marks the beginning of the Sabbath. Now, 24 hours later, in the evening of Saturday, the Sabbath day ends. They will again light the candles and then they will extinguish the candles. But something very special occurs between sundown on Friday, which begins the Sabbath, and sundown on Saturday, which ends it. The first thing that we should notice is that the Sabbath begins in the evening, a time of rest. One of the first things that we are to do is to enter into that physical rest. And then as the day begins, the Sabbath continues. Now, in the opening scene of Fiddler on the Roof, the family is gathered. They light the candles. They have a blessing over the 2 loaves of braided bread that represents the dual manna that was provided for them on the day before the Sabbath to gather twice as much so they would have manna on the Sabbath to eat and wouldn't have to gather it. The 2 loaves are braided bread, and then there's a blessing over that, and then there's a blessing over the cup of wine. There are some other blessings of the washing of hands. There's a blessing over the children. There's a blessing over the members of the family. Then they have a meal. But something very, very special occurs within that 24-hour period of time. And in the movie Fiddler on the Roof, if you have a chance, just Google it, opening scene to Fiddler on the Roof, and it'll draw it up for you somewhere. And there's singing, and there's joy, and the family is gathered around the table. And they are experiencing something of joy and happiness in a world that so often is bereft of joy and happiness. Now, the setting for this particular movie was in Russia, in a particular place where the Jews were being persecuted. Life was rough for them, extremely rough. But they kept the Sabbath every week. And here is the key to remember. By keeping the Sabbath rest, the Sabbath kept them united as a people of faith, people of hope and joy, a people who could be sustained in the midst of persecution and difficulty. And so then after that scene at the table, there is a panoramic view of the whole neighborhood. And in each of the windows in the neighborhood, there are lights being lit. It's a holy scene. Lights coming on in all the homes because the whole community has begun to celebrate the Sabbath. The candles are lit to bring light so that we do not stumble in a world of darkness, so that we do not stumble in ignorance, in arrogance, and hurt our brothers and sisters, so that we don't forget God, so that we remember what is important in life. That opening scene is very, very special. If you can Google it, go to it and take a look at it. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Guess what we forgot? Guess what we forgot? We've forgotten the Sabbath. But I'm not blaming you, and I'm not blaming myself. We now live in a 24/7 world. It seems that nothing stops. Now, in Las Vegas, that's intentional. They want you to feed the slot machines 24 hours straight. They're not going to tell you to take a rest, but guess what? It seems that all around, we're connected. We're receiving messages, we're receiving information, we have demands, we have obligations. And somewhere along the way, we have forgotten an important lesson. And this series is all about, if I could pick the 8 biggest lessons I've learned in my life, the 8 biggest, which would those be? Which are the 8 greatest lessons that I could share, lessons that I have learned? And this would be the first one, and this is what I want to talk with you about today, about remembering the Sabbath. So very, very important. We are now in a 24/7 world, and it's not going to go back to the way it used to be a long, 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 long time ago, where the stores were closed on Sunday. There was plenty of time to sit on the front porch with your family, go for a walk, have a picnic, take time at the dinner table. You go out, anywhere you go out, it seemed like there was a slower pace. Yes, there are people who need to work on the Sabbath. There are people who service us in our communities and hospitals and to protect our neighborhoods and so forth. But there seemed to be a slower pace in the world and in our neighborhoods. But that's the years that have gone by. It's no longer like that. There seems to be this inner restlessness. And I'm going to confess, more and more I wake up in the morning and the first thing I sense is restlessness. Things I got to do. Things I just now remembered I should have done yesterday. And do you know that it piles on so much that there hardly is a day that I don't wake up restless and I have to stop, and Polly's helping me, and I'm going to share a little bit later about what we're trying to do to remember the Sabbath and to reclaim it. But there seems to be a sense of restlessness, and Polly said, you know what we ought to do to kind of demonstrate that? It's a pretty good idea. I don't think we'll do it, but it's a great idea. But she said, what if you were just ask everybody just to be quiet, bow their heads, and just for 2 minutes be still? Well, I guess one of the reasons we're not going to try it right now is I'm not sure I can do it, okay? But, you know, there's something about it. We can't even be still. It's hard. Something has been wired in us now that we can't even do that. I'm going to show you a little meditative practice that I'm going to start using, and I'm going to suggest that maybe you start using. It's just a simple way to begin to focus on being still and being present in the moment. It comes from Psalm 46, verse 10, if that could come up on the screen. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do this first, and then we're going to do it all together. I'm seated in a comfortable chair, but not too comfortable that I want to go to sleep. The lights are down a little bit, but not all the way down to where I can't see anything. I'm in a peaceful, quiet environment. In other words, the TV's not on, and I'm not by the window where the sirens are going by. I'm somewhere where there's peace and quiet, and I know I'm going to be uninterrupted. And I have my Bible before me, or I have a little card with this written on it, and I read the first line. Be still and know that I am God. And then there is a pause, and I just remain still for a little bit. Feel a little bit anxious? Okay. I'm going to read that second line. Be still and know that I am. Push the pause button. Be still a little bit more. Maybe feel a little anxiety or something. Another. Well, I'll read that next line. Be still and know that I. Pause button. Quietness, stillness. I'm ready to go to the next line. Be still and know. Pause. A little longer in my stillness now and in my quietness now. Next line. Be still. And I am still. But there's one other line. The last one. Be. This is a meditative practice, I think, that will help bring you to a place of quietness and stillness and a consciousness of the Lord's presence. And it's using Psalm 46:10. The Sabbath is a beautiful gift God has given us, so that we can make the transition from being a human doing to becoming a human being. Because on the Sabbath, it's all about being and not about doing. It's different for us. And you know, that's why we're restless, because we're not used to just simply being. Now, the Bible tells us in two different places the Ten Commandments. The first time it's given in Exodus, and then in the second time the commandments are given, it's Deuteronomy chapter 5. As I said before, in Exodus it is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. In Deuteronomy it is observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now in Exodus it's based upon the creation story. For on the seventh day God rested and he blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In Exodus, there's a different rationale for keeping the Sabbath, because they say, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. And remember the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of slavery and bondage, and brought you to the place of rest. So that's based actually upon the deliverance from Egypt. Now, we're going to stick just for a little while on Exodus 20 and focus in on the creation, okay? I could also do something with the Exodus, but I don't have but so much time, and one of my New Year's resolutions is we got to have shorter sermons. Amen? Okay. All right, so here on the no clapping, please. Okay. So in the creation story, basically summarizing it, in 6 days, God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But when he made things, he stepped back and said, that's good. God saw that it was good. Now on the sixth day, he made humankind. He stepped back and said, that's very good. Did you notice that in the scripture, in the creation story? Genesis chapter 1. What is the apex of the creation story? Now, for a long time, I thought, well, it's when God made me. God, when made humankind. I'm not trying to be so egotistical that focus on myself. But do you see what I mean? But guess what? But on the seventh day, God rested and blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And do you know what God said about that? He said, that's holy. So we move from that's good, to that's very good, to on the seventh day, that's holy. Holy. And so, in the Jewish faith at least, the apex of creation is the seventh day because God created the Sabbath. And they believed that as they kept the Sabbath would keep them. And that they always lived out of an experience of rest and fulfillment in God. They were never more than 3 days removed from the Sabbath. They were either living out of the overflow of their Sabbath rest, 3 days, and then they were beginning to move into anticipation of the Sabbath for 3 days. Do you see that? So they'll never further away from the Sabbath than 3 days. And all of life was centered around the Sabbath. Going back to the creation story, God blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. And one of the covenants with God and humankind is the Sabbath. It's a beautiful thing to study the real meaning of the Sabbath. Now, the Hebrew word is Shabbat. Shabbat for Sabbath. You know basically what that means? Cease. Whatever you're doing, cease. Stop. There's a fellow by the name of Matthew Sleeth who wrote a book called 24-6. Not 24-7, but 24-6, because he's reclaimed the Sabbath and he talks about how he's done that. But in this particular book, he says, you know, he now calls the Sabbath day stop day. He's a doctor. Can you imagine how hard it would be to actually have a stop day as a doctor? Well, no more difficult than you. Maybe some mother who's raising her children, and maybe as a single mother, or even with another parent there in the home, just raising children in a household. You know, you can't basically just stop and tell the children to take care of themselves. We wrestle with all kinds of questions over how are we going to do it. But let's not get enmeshed into details right now. Let's look at the big picture. What are we stopping from? We're stopping from those habits that we so quickly get engrossed in. Here's one of the habits that I have gotten engrossed in, and it's been destructive, and it happens to the most men, that when I am not working and doing something, I don't feel that if I'm not accomplishing anything, then I'm not of worth and value. There's a certain sense of drivenness that I have in my life, constantly wanting to, okay, I got those 10 things down, but you know, I can come up with another 10 things. And here at the church, there's always more things to do and more things to do. And gosh, I can get more things done on my Sabbath day if I just don't rest. But guess what? That's idolatrous. It's idolatrous because it's actually making work your God more important than God. But the Sabbath is a gift to us because what are we stopping? Guess what you get to stop on the Sabbath? You get to stop worrying. Light this on a evening of your Sabbath, whenever it is, whenever you begin your Sabbath. And you just tell yourself, God has given me permission within the Sabbath to stop worrying. And I will, at least for these 24 hours. Stop and take your hands off the world and observe its beauty and be renewed through creation. Stop the regular routine of life so you may enter into a rest that's not just physical rest, but a rest that renews your soul. Stop the sense of urgency. What if you had the gift of a day where there was no time schedule? You had to do this then, or you had to do this then. Polly wants one of those right now in our house, okay? What if we did away with the sense of stopping, that sense of urgency, and we could take our time? Stop and rejoice. Stop and remember. Remember our story. And that's where Deuteronomy comes in. Who are we as a people of faith? We were those people who struggled in slavery in Egypt. We had bondage. There was no day of rest for us then. We cried out for rest. We said, if I had a day of rest, I would praise God. I would sit down and I would, to my almighty God, I would say, I will worship you. I will give you my life. If I had a day of rest, please, please. They cried out for rest. And guess what? God gave them rest. But what do? We forget. And so we're busy again. We forgot that we once were delivered out of that kind of slavery. We remember our story. We remember what's important. Let me tell you something. If we could keep the Sabbath day, we could keep the rest of the 9 commandments. Do you know what the 10 commandments are? The first one is have no other gods before you. The second one is make no graven images. The third one is don't take my name in vain. The fourth one is the Sabbath. The fifth one is honor your mother and father. The sixth one is do not kill, murder. The seventh one is do not commit adultery. The eighth one is do not steal. The ninth one is do not bear false witness. And the tenth one is do not covet. Let me tell you, if we kept the Sabbath and we began to reflect upon what is it that truly gives us life? What really should be our priorities? We recalibrate, we remember, and we get back to being who God called us to be as his people. We'd be faithful. We would relax. We would remember that our security doesn't depend upon our acquiring or achieving, but our security solely rests on who we are as a child of God. I don't have to do anything to earn that word sense of worthiness. And guess what? When I take a Sabbath and somebody, true Sabbath, and somebody looks at me, it ought to be so different that they say, what in the world are you doing? Don't you know that you really should be doing something? It's the greatest witness to my faith because I say, I stop working in order that God may work. That my sense of idleness on the Sabbath day is actually an opportunity for me to say that, you know what? The work of God is more important than my work. To take my hands off the world so I can observe its beauty, all these things. To observe the Sabbath is to give witness to the world that our security does not rest upon our acquiring or our possessing, but our simply being the children of God. You see, our God provided manna in the wilderness. And during all those years, the Bible says, that God provided. Do we really believe that? And why do we worry? You know, worry's not going to go away. It's always going to be there for you. You know, some mornings I wake up, there's a committee going on in my head. And I've been invited to the committee. And they're handing out report cards about, you know, you're not doing so hot on this. And here's some more things. You know, God does not have a productivity sheet that we hand in to him. But we live our lives like that. But we give a witness to the world that we, of all people, can stop and just be. Well, Matthew Sleeth has a wonderful book called 24-6, and I recommend it because it talks about his experience of reclaiming the Sabbath. He grew up as a Christian. He didn't really live out the faith. He became a very, very good emergency room doctor. He learned that he needed to take a day off. That's what's interesting. I mean, in the secular world, they know you need to stop the sharpen the saw. Stephen Covey tells you that in the Effective Habits of Highly Successful People. So he actually took a day off and did some things to renew himself. But on his day off, he began to ask questions of meaning. Why am I here? Why is there so much suffering in the world? Is there really a God? He began to seek things out. He read the Bhagavad Gita, which is the holy writings of the Hindu faith. He began to read different holy books, and he had leisure time to pursue truth and to think about what's important. And he picked up the New Testament, and he read about Jesus, and something about Jesus's life spoke to his heart, and he reclaimed the Christian faith. And in reclaiming the Christian faith, then he began to really decide how to keep the Sabbath day. Now, in his book, he tells a funny story about when he was a little boy. He misbehaved at school. They sent him home. He thought it was funny. His dad said it was not funny and that he should never laugh at being called the class clown. That's not why he had sent him to school. Now, he really didn't misbehave that much. He was just a little kid having fun. You know what I'm talking about? I can identify with this guy. I got sent home one time. Okay. Well, anyway, his dad was going to punish him. And he said, well, son, you know, we were all going to go out to such and such place, but you can't go today. You're going to have to stay here. And so he had to stay at the place that day. They had a farm. They had a little barn. They had hay out in the barn. And he said, little did they know, that wasn't punishment for him, because what he did is he had received a new book in the mail that day, one of the Hardy Boy books. He loved Hardy Boy books. He got a Hardy Boy book. He went into the barn. He laid down on the straw, and he read all afternoon. He got engrossed in that little book. He forgot all about his troubles. And you know the little aches and pains you have in your heart because people hurt you? His life became repaired in that little barn because he was just lying on the straw reading a book. And he finished the book, and he said, I was different. As a little boy, I was different. I knew that somehow or another this rest that I had helped repair my heart. And his dad came home, and he didn't have the words to explain it to his dad, but now he has the words. God says sometimes to stop so we can repair the things that have our hearts, the hurts that we have. To stop and heal. To stop and do whatever it is we need to do to become whole again. Now, in the Jewish faith, they say Shabbat Shalom, which basically means, may your ceasing from work bring you peace and well-being. And that's the purpose of the Sabbath. But guess what? We as human beings legalize things. So when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, he went and he healed somebody one day, and they said, oh, you just broke the law. You did work. He did. In a certain way, that was work. And Jesus realized that somehow or another they had not seen the true intent of the commandment. That they had legalized these things. And so in Mark chapter 2 verse 27 he says, do you realize that the Sabbath was given for mankind, was made for mankind, not mankind for the Sabbath? And furthermore, in another place he said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, and I am the one who fulfills the true intent of the Sabbath. And so when Jesus started his ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? Well, we believe it's the Jubilee. You know, every 50 years or so, there's a complete stop. The land rests. You don't till the land. You set people free. If you have servants, you let them go free. It's a time of being alleviated of your debts. A jubilee was a time in which rest was given to the land, to people. And Jesus is saying basically with his whole ministry, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, for I am humble and gentle of heart. Take my rest, take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus was all about offering to us Sabbath rest. All about that. For the healing of our wounds, the binding up of our hearts, for the release from captivity and addictions, for being filled with the joy that we should have in life. Jesus was no killjoy. The first miracle in John's gospel is he turned the water into wine. And he was about restoring the life of the party. And so in this particular book, I got to thinking, wow. You see, we're stuck with this old image of the Sabbath. Don't do this. Whatever you do, don't do that. And we've become legalistic. So here's part of what I want you to begin to do. And you can't do it in a day, but you basically got a whole year right now to think about what should your Sabbath look like. Maybe it can't be on Sunday. Mine can't really be on Sunday. We'll have to talk about what day that'll be. Several years ago, I realized that I had become addicted to ministry. Really. The more I did it, the more I felt like I needed to do it. And I really made the church my mistress. Now, when I became married, I realized that I can't have a mistress. I don't want to have a mistress. I have a lovely wife. So one of the things I've learned in marriage is, you know what? When I go home and I park my car in the garage, whether it's, I don't park my car in the garage, park the car in the driveway, whatever time it is, 6:30 or sometimes a late quarter to 7, that's it. That's it. So what I'm learning is that you have to be creative. What day should it be? I don't know. I can't tell you what day it should be. It could be different for different people for different reasons. But I want you to begin to think about what should your Sabbath look like. And may I suggest to you that you may begin to mark the Sabbath by the actual lighting of candles. And then 24 hours later, light them again and then extinguish them. But I want you to begin thinking about what would a Sabbath look like for you. Now, I'm going to tell you what I did several years ago when I was still single. I actually went a whole year and I did light candles on Monday night. My Sabbath was on Tuesday. And then I'd relight them on a Tuesday evening. But that whole 24 hours, I chose things to do that would renew me. You know what I did? I chose some of the most inspirational videos I could watch. I watched 52 videos that year. I can tell you the names of them. One of them was Fiddler on the Roof. Another one was Schindler's List, which, by the way, has an opening scene of the beginning of Shabbat. I took walks. I went swimming. Not only did I read, but I also made a little list of things I was thankful for. I made a gratitude list. I began to get in touch with my gratitude. Sometimes I would write letters to people I wanted to reconnect with, maybe so forth. I began to think about what are those things that bring me life and joy and reconnected me. And then sometimes I think about, you know, how might I spend my day offering a Sabbath gift to someone else? But here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about what would work for you. What should your Sabbath look like? Polly and me need to do some talking. We were just talking the other day. She needs a day for herself. I need a day for myself. We may need to be creative. We may need to change it from time to time. But in this new year ahead, this is the first lesson that I want to share with you. And this is the first lesson that I need to get busy on for myself. Reclaiming the Sabbath. Reclaiming a Sabbath rest. Discovering the life-giving principles that it has. As we close this service, perhaps you just like some rest today. Something you've been struggling with, you just like to lay it down. Polly and I would be glad to pray with you about stopping whatever it is you need to stop so you can have rest. You're invited to come, and we will look forward to praying with you. But please know this, God has given you permission to have a Shabbat Shalom. Day of peace, rest, and well-being. Let us stand.